As a formality, Madam Clerk, would you read any changes to the agenda, please?
We have no changes to the agenda today.
That's a rarity. And the speaker slips come rolling in. So we'll start with the consent calendar this morning. And we do have some requests to speak on consent, beginning with Sheriff Parkinson. Followed by Michael Wynn.
Good morning. Ian Parkinson, County Sheriff. I wanted to speak just briefly on the project that we have pending. And first, I need to make a correction. In the staff report, it stated that a four-fifths vote is needed to approve the lease, and that's actually not accurate. So for the record, removing that, amending the staff report. I know that the board itself has been highly supportive of public safety in the county, and so some of my what I want to kind of state today is really not geared toward you and more geared toward the public to kind of educate them on the process that we're going through. As the sheriff / elected coroner, most of the time we tend to focus on the duties of sheriff and not the duties of coroner, which are equally important. And one of the things that I noticed coming into office is the facility that we're using is really not in the best interest of the citizens of the county. And so we began pursuing some other options. One of the things that I really wanted to make clear kind of publicly is that this is not a request for funding. This is simply a request to sign a long-term lease for a property. We have the funding within our budget. Currently, we are paying approximately $60,000 a year to use a mortuary facility for the purpose of medical examinations and autopsies. This is, as you've probably read from the staff report, is grossly inadequate. The other funding that we're bringing into this project is $30,000 from asset forfeiture money, which is drug seizure money, so it's not coming from the general fund. The our current and future budgets are, or my current budget and this next fiscal year budget, I believe will cover all of costs associated with this project. Realistically, what this project does for us in the county is that it ensures the proper health care for our employees that are exposed. Other agencies that come in for this project, such as other detectives from other agencies that have to witness an autopsy, will not be exposed. It provides for the security of evidence, which we're not currently prepared to do in our current facility, at least adequately enough for my standard, and then ultimately the efficiency. Over the last year, we've used the word force multiplier several times. We've looked at trying to expand services to the citizens in the county without costing more money, and I think this is one of those areas. We're going to realistically have a state-of-the-art facility that's not going to cost the taxpayers any more money, yet it's going to provide a much better service to them and to their loved ones. So I wanted to just offer that. I appreciate the opportunity to come up here and present it, and I'm certainly available to any questions if you have any.
Any questions for Sheriff Parkinson? I see none. Thank you for that explanation, Sheriff. Appreciate it. Mike Wynn.
Good morning, Chairman Patterson, supervisors. My name is Mike Wynn, and I'm from Napomo, from the Napomo Community Services District. I'm speaking to you today about item number 5 on your consent agenda, and that item is broken into two parts, the second of which is a proposed subdivision in Tract 3014 on Glen Haven Place. It's not being served by any of the four major water providers on the Mesa, so my assumption is they have their own well and they're okay for water. But unfortunately, whether it's a glitch in your new system or more likely a glitch in my computer system at home, I could not download the staff report. So I'm asking you if it includes a required in-lieu fee for supplemental water. According to your ordinance 3090, any subdivisions outside of those four service areas is required to pay that. I think it's $13.20 per unit, $13,200 per unit. But anyway, I'll leave that to you, and perhaps your staff could comment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Nguyen. Is there someone from Public Works that can address Mr. Nguyen's question regarding that? I don't see anyone in the audience.
Mr. Chair, well, we can find a staff person to come on down.
Okay, Mr. Gibson.
Yes.
Mr. Hill.
Yes.
Mr. Meacham.
Yes.
Mr. DeShera.
Yes.
Mr. Patterson.
Yes. Okay, we'll move on to the next item, which is our presentation calendar. I need a motion to approve that.
So second.
Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Mr. Meacham.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. DeShera.
Yes.
Mr. Gibson.
Yes.
Mr. Hill.
Yes.
Mr. Patterson.
Yes. Our presentation this morning is a resolution commending county volunteers and proclaiming the week of April 15th through 21st, 2012 as National Volunteer Week in San Luis Obispo County. And Brian Reynolds, our library director, would you please come forward as I read the resolution? And it's a long one because we have many volunteers working for the county. Whereas volunteers contribute an invaluable service to the County of San Luis Obispo and local residents, complementing the efforts of county employees and county funding limitations. And whereas for 21 years, members of the Retired Senior Volunteer Program, RSVP, have been helping countless airport patrons navigate through a myriad of travel-related questions, logging anywhere from 2 to 21 years with an average length of service of 11.64 years. And whereas animal services volunteers, numbering 75 to 100 persons at any given time, have directly affected the care, adoption, rehoming, and quality of life of more than 4,000 dogs, cats, rabbits, and other homeless pets sheltered by animal services, helping San Luis Obispo County achieve one of the lowest euthanasia rates of any public shelter in California. And whereas General Services volunteers provide much-needed services to the public at the information desk in the new Government Center lobby, this tireless group of three individuals has provided approximately 546 hours of service throughout the year. Our volunteers are occasionally appointed as Deputy Commissioners of Marriage and have performed numerous marriage ceremonies over the years. And whereas library volunteers numbering over 800 persons contribute over 32,000 hours of service per year, shelving, mending books, emptying book drops, providing public programs and internet guidance on an independent basis, and in affiliation with 15 Friends of the Library groups and the Foundation for San Luis Obispo County Public Libraries. And whereas parks and numerous volunteer group and individuals that so far this year have donated approximately 46,243 hours, that's approximate, 46,243 hours and 23 minutes of service, which equates to an added value of just under $1 million, $987,750, helping with maintenance and repairs of trails, natural areas, and park facilities, as well as helping with special events, fundraising, and recreational programming. And whereas the Planning and Building Department volunteers and student interns have contributed up to 3,200 hours per year, updating public forms, working on graphics for staff reports, assisting planners in preparing initial studies, and gathering data for community projects. Additionally, over 200 volunteers contribute 2 days of hard work participating in their community cleanup in Oceano. And whereas the Probation Department works with Executive Director Sister Teresa Harpin and staff from Restorative Partners, who have brought hundreds of hours of programming into the juvenile hall, offering activities such as art, music, and jewelry making classes, study halls and tutoring, and sports tournaments with Cal Poly athletes. And whereas Public Works benefits from a wide range of volunteer contributions, including a successful Adopt-a-Road program, a creek cleanup day, community groups that help keep road medians landscaped, irrigated, and clean. Additionally, over 180 well owners and 40 precipitation observers provide our utilities division with hydrologic data to keep the county and residents informed about water resources of the region. And whereas, through the programs of the University of California Cooperative Extension Farm Advisor, more than 400 adults in San Luis Obispo County volunteer their time and talents to support one of the largest 4-H Youth Development Club programs in the state. The University of California Cooperative Extension Master and Gardener Program, with more than 140 county residents trained as certified master gardeners, volunteer more than 5,000 hours a year in outreach and education programs. Volunteers here as well this morning. So I'd like to give department heads and anyone else who would like to speak to the volunteer programs in their respective programs an opportunity to speak. So please do come forward if you would like to make comments. Brian, I'll let you lead off with Vera Wallen on deck.
Thank you, Chairman Patterson, members of the board. Brian Reynolds, Library Director. Today, we're honoring with your support all of the county volunteers, and it's just a wonderful thing. We've been doing it now for a few years, and it's amazing how many people there are contributing such a great job. To me, they not only add to the value of the work that we do for our citizens and residents, but they help us maintain better communication with our citizens because those same volunteers are a conduit for community opinions and priorities. So very honored to be a part of that today, and I'm thankful to my staff, Carol Hill in particular, for putting this together. Maybe it would be okay to have the volunteers stand?
Sure.
So they could be recognized?
Good.
Thank you.
Curtis. Curtis Black, Deputy Director of County Parks, and glad to be here for this purpose. Our volunteers are very important to parks to provide our services. Some go relatively unnoticed. We have folks at the golf courses early in the morning out taking care of the parking lots, trimming around the clubhouse, doing the details that we can't possibly get to. We have folks patrolling our trails and going out and putting in water bars, carrying tools uphill and doing work throughout the summer to keep the trails safe for everyone. We have church groups that come in numbers of 60 to 100 or more. You may be aware of one that's going to be up at Lopez Lake a little later in the month of May. We have the folks that come to visit and help us volunteer their services at our special events. And on May 12th, up at Lopez Lake, we'll have the Outdoor Discovery Festival. We have a number of volunteers signed up, and we could use more if folks would like to come to the festival and help us greet folks and keep them guided to different activities. But we mostly just want to say thank you very much to our volunteers. We have only to date that 42,000 hours. We'll probably be up closer to 75,000 hours of volunteer service per year for county parks and golf courses. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Vera Wallen from the Foundation for the San Luis Libraries, but also from a lot of other organizations, and I wanted to say that to you. I'm wearing my special little sign that says, please don't yell at me, I'm just a volunteer. And I get to wear that a lot, and people do. And I want to thank you as a board very much for acknowledging and putting all this time and energy into acknowledging the people that put so much help into our libraries, into building housing for people like Habitat, into doing things at the schools, into doing things for parks and recreation, for all the departments, helping with elections. There's so many things. It's like the American way. We've got people in our county, and I'm sure it's other counties, but I know this county the best for the 25 years I've lived here. And I just want to thank you for acknowledging this and putting this time into your meeting for this.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Wallen. Sheriff Parkinson.
I just attended a barbecue on Sunday recognizing our volunteer patrol volunteers. We just started a new volunteer patrol academy with over 20 people, and I told them on Sunday that they are our most precious asset. Not only do they train every month, all of our units, we have search and rescue, we have Aero Squadron, we have Posse, we have the dive team, we have the volunteer patrol. Tremendous number of people that put themselves out every month and then come out on call basis. So I wanted to acknowledge them and thank you for recognizing the volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sheriff Parkinson. Julie Rodewald.
Good morning, Julie Rodewald, County Clerk Recorder. Whoops. I want to recognize two groups. We have a small group of volunteers in our office who perform civil marriage ceremonies for us. Very important for those who wish to come in and get married in our office. And also to our poll workers who, although they're not technically volunteers because we pay them a very small pittance for the long hours that they put in and the most important work that they do on Election Day, but without them, we would not be able to conduct elections. And as Curtis said, we're always looking for more poll workers. So if anyone's out there interested and isn't signed up for any other volunteer activities on June 5th, we'd be glad to welcome them at the polls on Election Day.
And can you give them a phone number where they
sure.
can contact you?
Sure. 781-5080. Thanks.
781-5080 to volunteer at the polls.
We have, so I think this is a very important resolution for them. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Dr. Anderson. Chief Salio.
Jim Salio, Chief Probation Officer. I wanted to introduce to you Sister Teresa Harpin, who coordinates all our volunteer services at the juvenile hall through Restorative Partners. Sister Teresa came to us and said, "What can I do to help?" And, of course, we put her right to work. But Sister Teresa.
Thank you, and I'm so grateful to both the Sheriff and Chief Salio for the opportunity to engage the citizens of our community to bring their expertise and gifts in order to lower recidivism and also to lower the rate of violence that's within our institutions. With AB 109, we have a lot of challenges, as you know, and so Restorative Partners is trying to present opportunities and possibilities to engage citizens of our community to help within these institutions and also to heal all those in the community that are impacted by crime. I could not do it without the support of the Sheriff and Chief Salio, and I'm very, very grateful for that opportunity. I want to put out there that we need always more volunteers so we can expand our programming. We're very interested, if people are interested in things like Alternatives to Violence Program, which is a very worthwhile endeavor that's been going on at CMC for many years. We are looking for volunteers to help with that program at the jail and at Juvenile Hall, as well as a host of other programs. I have a brochure here this morning to give you so that you can see the breadth of what we're doing. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. We're only 6 months old. But already we have countless hours and volunteers, a number of interns and senior project kids from Cal Poly and Cuesta. And so it really is an intergenerational response to an intergenerational problem. Thank you for your support.
Well, and I have heard about you but haven't met you yet, and thank you very much for organizing this effort. And before you sit down, if you would let folks know how they can contact you to volunteer. But as Sister Teresa mentioned, with AB 109, the realignment of public safety, there are additional challenges both at Juvenile Hall and out at the Sheriff's Department. And thank you for helping the sheriff and probation make the transition. I do think that it's a benefit that we can do a better job than the state's done, and it still presents challenges, but at the same time, if we can reduce recidivism, reduce violence on the streets and in the institutions, it's a plus. So would you let folks know how they can contact
you?
Yes,
you can contact me personally at SisterTeresa@RestorativePartners.org or 805-242-1272. Okay? Thank you very much for your time. And even if they think they have just a little gift to give, there's an opportunity with us.
Very good.
Thank you.
Jeanette Pell from General Services.
Good morning. Jeanette Pell, General Services Agency Director. Today I'd like to recognize the volunteers that we have at the airport. They help direct our passengers as they get on the planes or when they arrive in San Luis Obispo, as well as the information desk that we have in this building where they help people, citizens, find different departments in this building, as well as during board member or board sessions and planning sessions. So it's an honor to be here to recognize our volunteers. Thank you.
And thank you for being here. And we have one final speaker this morning.
I'm Leslie Rebick. I represent the University of California Cooperative Extension. That is the 4-H program and the Master Gardeners. We all work hand in hand together. And this group represents a lot of volunteers. Most of us came into the volunteer program as parents of a youth member who decided they wanted to take an animal to the fair or do some kind of an arts and crafts project. And I was one of those ones that stayed even after my daughter graduated out and moved on. I've been a volunteer for almost 20 years now, as have most of our volunteers. We range in projects from the classic fair animals to aerospace, rocketry, food and arts. I have a marine science program that I lead currently. And so the young people are getting educations far beyond what they're getting in school, these extra things that we do, and these are all volunteers. It's my pleasure to help teach them citizenship, leadership, life skills development. Those are the things that are the hallmarks of 4-H. And the Master Gardeners, like I say, work side by side with us. They volunteer their services, and it's a pleasure to serve the county and be supported so well. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. And Supervisor Hill, you had a comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank everybody as well. It makes me feel very proud to work in this organization. Of course, we have great employees, and we have throughout all of our departments, we have an amazing number of volunteers. And
how many, literally millions of dollars worth of public service volunteers provide to residents in San Luis Obispo County. And if it weren't for the volunteers, those services would go unmet or would cost county government that many millions more to provide. So you are valued in many ways. You make San Luis Obispo County the great place to live that it is. And so thank you all very much. So with that, we'll move on to public comment.
Mr. Chair, you may want to address this one item that was left on consent.
Oh, it's okay. We have someone here from Public Works. This is item number 5 on consent. Mr. Marshall.
Good morning, Honorable Supervisor Patterson and Supervisors. Glenn Marshall, County Public Works. This morning earlier on, you pulled consent item A5 based on a question from Mr. Wynn during public comment on the consent. And I just here to let you know that the condition, it's an additional map sheet condition, 24J does address the fee that's required to be paid prior to issuance of future residential construction permits. So the map does meet all the requirements of the conditions, and our recommendation is you do approve the map on your consent.
Very good. Thank you for coming down and clarifying that. So why don't we clean that one up?
Moved to approve. Second.
Okay. Been moved and seconded that we approve consent item number 5. Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Mr. Teixeira.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Meacham.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Gibson.
Yes.
Mr. Hill.
Yes.
Mr. Patterson.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Grant, for bringing that up, and we'll clear that item. And now we'll open it to the public for general public comment on items that are not on the agenda today. And I do have a number of requests to speak, beginning with Eric Greening, followed by John McGarry.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Hold on a sec. That's the vacation ordinance. That's just misnumbered is all. Julie Tacker is on deck.
Okay, thank you. I am Eric Greening. Good morning. And Mr. Wynn mentioned trouble navigating to find the staff reports. I think I'm beginning to get the hang of it some of the time, but it still seems a little hit or miss. What I noticed is that it was proposed that one way to address this was to offer a class. I would just have to observe that the way it was before, we didn't need a class to find what we were looking for. So anyway, just an observation along the way. I wanted to address something that we did get an update on at the last RAC that was on the agenda so we could talk about it and ask questions about it. As you know, I don't like it when there is a staff report presented on something, both written and oral, that has been taken off the agenda because it puts us in the position of not being able to do anything, even talk about it, without violating the law. And I think that message was delivered loud and clear last week. But something that has been on the agenda has been updates about the land use and circulation element / rural area plan. And some questions I asked there and the answers I got kind of made me wonder, what exactly are we doing and why are we doing this? As you know, we're dissolving a number of current planning areas into a much smaller number of planning areas. And so when we were told that the work was mostly routine in this phase, I asked, well, what's happening, for example, if creek setback standards or some other standards differ from planning area to planning area? Will they be retained as they are in the current planning areas? And the answer is, yes, they are, but they're being given some kind of a new name or a new color under these larger areas. And this all gets me wondering, is this kind of recoloring of what's already there the best use of our staff time? We have highly trained planners out there. Are they basically filling in the blanks in a coloring book, or can they be put to work doing real planning tasks that are needed in this county? Of course, the other concern that I have had for a long time and continue to have is we're being asked to find areas for development outside the urban and village reserve lines, because that's where we're looking right now. We're going to be looking inside those lines at some unspecified future time, Shandon being the last community plan in the hopper. And obviously, from the standpoint of what we pay lip service to, strategic growth, we're looking first in the last place we should be looking.
Well, I don't think it'll be that quick. There's actually several changes that we're proposing to the vendor, and we need to reach agreement amongst ourselves as to what those changes are before we present those to the vendor. But we're hoping to have those to him by tomorrow at the latest, and then we'll find out more. One of the things that we're going to be working on is we're going to take the clip when I did the demonstration to your board a couple of weeks ago. We're going to isolate that clip and post that on our website so that it's easily accessible. I've also asked Mike Brown, and I might ask Mr. Wynn and Mr. Green if they want to stop by my office, to help me understand where we need to direct the training instead of conducting a class, to actually put something out on the web so that anybody can access it at any time instead of having to come down here at a predetermined time. I also want to reiterate to all the public, whether they're here or they're listening, that they can call our office. We've talked to several people on the phone and have been able to walk them through what they need. Also, on the needs help, there are several tutorials there that help walk through how to access the staff reports. I wish I could say that I knew what happened when we implemented the Granicus website, which was obviously a big improvement because we didn't have our staff reports up there before. I imagine that we probably had some questions back then, but that was 5 or 6 years ago, and none of us remember what those are. So we are working to resolve any of the issues that the public is having.
Very good. And do you have a number again that people can call if they are?
Sure. Just our main line, 781-5080. I think any of our staff should be able to help the public with questions.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Rodewald. Thank you, Julie, for waiting. Julie Tacker, followed by Gwen Taylor. Julie?
Good morning. I am Julie Tacker. I am from Los Osos. I, about 2 weeks ago, your board approved the sending of a portion of our collection system out to bid. At the time, the plans and specs were not available, and it took your approval to then make them available for the public to review. I don't know if you've reviewed them. I would ask that you do. A concern of mine in reading through some thousands of pages has developed over the dewatering plan. much of Los Osos is in high groundwater. While we are digging ditches that are very, very deep, they will be inundated with dirty water. That water has to go somewhere. And your engineer suggests that at times there will be up to 6,000 gallons a minute being pumped from these ditches. I see the concern in your face. It is a lot of water. Multiply that over hours, over days, weeks, months, years. Where is that water going? They suggest that that water go to the Tri-W site in the center of town and to the Broderson leach field once it's developed. I think we need to talk about this. The Tri-W site is likely the most significant piece of property in the community of Los Osos. It's certainly seen its controversy. But it's going to endure a restoration of its habitat. What is coming to light is that its topography will not be restored. It's going to be restored into some configuration of drainage basins and obviously used as part of the wastewater project collection and construction system for dewatering those ditches. So great amounts of water will be held on site in the idea that it will percolate. But I believe our community has the right, and you owe it the respect, to have a conversation about its use. I think that it will be off limits for years, and I don't think that anyone knew that this was part of the plan, certainly not during the coastal development permit phase. And I think we need to take a big, deep breath here, and let's have a conversation. I asked for a town hall meeting to discuss what will be going on with this significant dewatering of our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Gwen Taylor, followed by Dr. C. Height.
Good morning. My name is Gwen Taylor, and I am a resident of Los Osos in the Prohibition Zone. The rainy season is fast coming to an end, and the average rainfall. There are numerous private wells outside the Prohibition Zone that are not inside the county's control. The contribution to the nitrates in the drinking water of private wells are due to numerous situations, soil conditions, significant agriculture, land use with application of fertilizers, equine farms, and sewage from unknown, unidentified resources. Yet those using private wells seem not to be concerned about nitrates or overdrafting of our water supply or even saltwater intrusion. Because the county has not publicly shown any major concern. This is a part of the responsibility of the county to supply all the public the information as to the availability of potable water for their private use, whether it be for land or internal use, such as drinking water. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Dr. C. Height, followed by Ben DeFata.
Dr. C. Height, Los Osos Rural Community Workshop, and I have been Dr. Height for some time, not Ms. or Ms. The attitude of disrespect begins at the top and filters down, all the way to the police. Before the budget hearings, I want to continue to address stereotyping, profiling. After 7 years of neglect, your new sheriff has an internal affairs complaint process. Don't tell him he's wasting his time by ignoring your administrative citizen's complaint. I have spoken over the years about the worst example of profiling found on the county website under Slow Cogang Task Force. I captured the printed web page, which has been now removed. Only thank yous from other states could be found in a search of Slow Cogang Task Force. Thank you for showing other states and counties how to profile youth. The damage is done. When citizens are programmed to be suspicious, to profile by personal choice of music, jewelry, kanji, T-shirts, all cause for alarm. But it's the martial arts practice weapon, my giftedness, that makes me profile as a potential gang leader just waiting to be drafted. Today, hoodies are suspicious. A black scarf left on in a store because I'm just going back out in a windy day is cause for alarm. Today's Loco Gang Task Force appears on California.gov, gang and youth violence policy. Gang and youth linked together. And this Loco Gang Task Force was formed in 1988. And I want to just keep you updated on this subject, and I'm reading from The Gift of Fear, which is written by the utmost professional that advises on Homeland Security. And when he talks about fear of children have much more reason to fear adults than we have to fear them. Life miseries fall disproportionately on children. Throughout history, half of all children have failed to reach adulthood. Consider this and all that we know about violence against young people. They have much more reason to be afraid of us than we have to be afraid of them. And what I find on this website is talking about that the task force regularly provides training to law enforcement, agency, school staff, and community-based organizations. Well, you can better believe that the children that are well connected with people in the county aren't profiled as dangerous. It's the other children, the children rising in mobility, the poor children, the diverse children that are wearing T-shirts and kanjis are the ones that are profiled. So please consider this. Please consider stereotyping.
Thank you, Dr. Hyde. Ben DeFada, followed by Willow Walking Turtle Kelly. I don't see her. Oh, there she is.
Morning, Supervisors, Sheriff and Public. I am Ben DeFada, Supervisor Gibson's District 2 Depression Zone of Los Osos, where a depression of our citizens and businesses is coming due because of his choosing of his expensive gravity sewer project. Not only that, but to put Gibson and Auburn's gravity collection system sewer in its pipe in deep, with its pipes in deep trenches, is a crime against the people that will have to move out of Los Osos and others that will have to pay and struggle just to live here. Have any of you been counting the earthquakes just in the past 2 weeks? There were two earthquakes in the 7s down in Chile, two down in Mexico, a 6.9 and 6.2, then in the state of Oregon in the 5s, then in Sumatra, 8.6, 8.2.
Thank you, Mr. Tafada. Willow Walking Turtle Kelly, followed by Lindy Owen.
Good morning, Ken. I want to talk about our label GMOs for a minute. We have another week of gathering signatures, and I hope we'll join the 52 countries in Europe who have already labeled GMOs. And I want to talk about the wording, the title, and the framing of ideas. And this is called GMOs, Genetically Modified Organisms. And I think the framers should have contacted me. I would have given them a different title. And I would have named this Gene-Modified Omnicides. And I know that's a pretty heavy title, and most people like euphemisms, but I don't like euphemisms. I don't think they get to the root of issues. So I'm going to use this word omnicide, and it comes from Rachel Carson when she advocated to get rid of DDT in our environment. And I think that these genetically modified omnicides remain in that category. And I hope that one of these days we will join the countries that have outlawed them completely. And I want to leave you with a saying from Chief CL. We remain, humankind did not weave the web of life. We remain a strand in it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. So I want you to think about these organisms, these omnicides being put in our food. It's a very serious issue. And I'd like to see people, I'd like to see all of you. I'd like to know if any of you have signed this petition. And if you haven't, please do it within the next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Walking Turtle Kelly. Lindy Owen, followed by Michael Wynn, and that is my last request to speak this morning on public comment. Ms. Owen.
Good morning, Lindy Owen from the Prohibition Zone in Los Osos, where the nitrates are average and the saltwater intrusion is huge. I wanted to kind of go off on a positive note, and it's about possibility, and it's Happy Earth Day to everybody, too. Possibility for Los Osos, which was basically shunned, was that we could keep our septic tanks, make sure they were all operating correctly. A septic tank is a sealed unit. It's made out of concrete, oftentimes a plastic material. It has two sections. The treatment from your house is done in that tank for approximately 5 to 10 years. It breaks down about 90% of the solids. What comes out into a leach field is basically a liquid. The proposal for a step collection system, which is what is being put in many parts of the world now because the gravity collection sewers are very expensive to install and very expensive to repair, and they're not trustworthy because when they break, you don't know what's going on. You don't know how to find that break unless you run cameras down. They take huge amounts of maintenance. So basically, that's old technology. We've moved on in the world. Anybody that's using their brains and not their politics has moved into looking at these other collection systems. There's also a vacuum system. It basically collects the liquid in small pipes. It goes alongside the street because it's not a toxic waste like raw sewage is. Los Osos, putting those pipes in our high water, which is a drinking supply, believe me, is insane. We are paying huge amounts of money to stabilize those pipes because of the major earthquake damage. We have to put gravel all the way around them. They have to be laid 18 feet under at these angles, but they're going to have all this material to keep them stabilized if there is anything such as stabilization in a liquefaction zone, folks. My complaint has always been about the collection system. The town was built, and if we have to tear up 42 miles of streets to put these antiquated, polluting pipes in, there's something wrong here. So I wanted to talk about cronyism and the breakdown of a political system. And it began with Apava Ogren, who was hired early on with the CSD and early on made a connection with Montgomery Watson Harza, who now amazingly has made millions of dollars off this project and will be doing the project. It's I believe you need to do a forensic audit.
Some that you guys put in a few years ago. It's been a tremendous asset for people like myself that live some distance from San Luis Obispo to be able to download the staff reports and to have some clear idea of what you're discussing. And I fully support taking your next step. Your new system's going to be even better. And like any new pair of shoes, you have to wear them a little bit till they sort of work their way in and get more comfortable. So I'm not at all being critical when I say I couldn't open a document. It's just a necessary process, and I support you in it. I did want to talk to you briefly about something that Mr. Greening brought up, which was, and I agree with his comments, that if we're going to have public comment, it should be brief, and if we're going to have a report, then it should be agendized. And as a chairman of that organization, I made a mistake last time, so I want to tell you that it was my mistake, and I'll do better. Simply what happened in March, a number of people from the public asked that we sort of take on the some sort of evaluation of what would be done with the treated effluent in Los Osos. And as you folks know even better than I, everybody in this county is passionate about their community, and Los Osos certainly doesn't take second place to anybody in that passion. And the mistake I made was to say, well, we would agendize it for our April meeting without conferring with staff first. And many times reports like this are a question of timing. If you folks are going to be at a decision point in which you need to either correct policy or take some new direction, then you often come to us and say, look this over and give us some direction, and we try to do that. And I've appreciated the fact you've listened to us carefully and you've made good decisions. In this case, there was no decision point immediately coming up. It simply was sort of in the middle of things, and so the timing was poor. And I did send a note out before the last meeting, say it would not be on the agenda after all, and try to explain why. But, you know, when you've promised people something and then you take it away, they will be upset. And so you've heard a little bit about it, and I'm just telling you that's where it ends. And we will look at it at any time that your board wants to know more about it, or if you send it to the Planning Commission, we'll do the same. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Nguyen, for that explanation, and thank you for your longtime service on the Water Resources Advisory Committee. It is an important function for us, and we appreciate your service. Albero.
Not quite ready yet. Almost there. Okay. Good morning, board and public. My name is Al Barrow, Coalition for Low Income Housing. I got this for a second. I'll give it to you in a second. Today, we're doing a puppet deposition of Pavaccio. Pavaccio, our friend here, which I created this weekend, will be under oath in this deposition. And Pavaccio, do you understand that lying under oath is perjury? Okay, good. So let's go on to our first question. Pavaccio, did you tell the USDA Rural Utility Service officials you had a shovel-ready project and that you disclosed this in the Truth in Lending disclosure? Thank you. Uh-oh. That looks like a whopper. Oh, my goodness. Let's go to the next one. Let's try again. There you go. Did you tell them an untruth when you told them gravity collection was within 10% of the price of step collection? Uh-oh, we've got another big one there. This looks like a whopper. Okay, thank you, Pavo. Now, we're just getting you ready for whatever deposition might occur, and so this is good practice for you. Get your hat to stay on there. There we go. Next question is, are Los Osos septic tanks polluting the bay? Yep, okay. But wait a minute, Pavo. We have Morro Bay Oyster Festival in June celebrating prize oysters that people all over the world are eating. How could that be? Next question. Did you lie to the voters on the 218 to get the $25 million when you promised competitive bidding and step gravity? Didn't lie, huh? Oh, well.
Uh-oh.
Whoa. Another big whopper. So the assessment passed. And the last question. Did you tell the Coastal Commission that you would lose the USDA loan if they did not give you a permit. Okay. You told the truth that time because you didn't lose a loan, and that was a misleading question. Anyway, this is our first presentation with Pablo,
Microphones are live.
Okay. Welcome back to our morning session. We have a hearing scheduled this morning. Madam Clerk, would you introduce the item, please?
Certainly. That's item 9, is the continued hearing to consider amendments to the Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance, section 23.08.165, residential vacation rentals regarding definition, location, tenancy, noise, notice, existing residential vacation rentals, transient occupancy tax, violations, and complaints.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Griffin, are you going to lead off here? Or introduce Mr.
I can do a really short introduction. This is a continued hearing. Your board did ask a number of questions to staff that we've taken a shot at answering, and Mr. Bissell, who is the project manager of this project, will make the presentation.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bissell.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, John Bissell, County Planning Staff. On February 7th, your board continued this hearing to and asked staff to come back with answers to some questions. I want to go over briefly, just to refresh you, the distribution of vacation rentals throughout the county. Cambria, 307, Cayucos, 239, Los Osos, 18, Avila Beach, 32, Oceano, 50. So the board direction, questions the board had, can the number of unlicensed vacation rentals be determined was one of the questions. Now that is a difficult thing. The unlicensed vacation rentals are typically advertising on websites that don't list an address. If we have an address, we can pursue that, write letters, and ask them, you know, if they're renting or not, or what's going on. Without the address, we have to do almost like an investigation, you know, like a law enforcement type investigation to try to get the address and then write the letters. So it becomes a big effort by staff to do that. And there's one of the websites I looked at, there were 48 listings for Cayucos and 94 for Cambria. So there's quite a number of possible investigations, I guess you would say, if we went that way. So that's the difficulty in determining the number of unlicensed rentals. The next question the board had, could non-use of a vacation rental be addressed through revocation of a business license for not paying a transient occupancy tax? We've had many discussions with the tax collector on this issue and with county council. The issue of paying transient occupancy tax, if they don't rent the unit, they don't have to pay the tax is the bottom line on that. So somebody who has a license, the issue was, you know, how do we address the people who are not renting their units and maybe blocking others? Someone who has a license but doesn't rent the unit doesn't have to pay the tax. They do have to report to the tax collector each year that they're not collecting any tax or that they're collecting tax if they're renting. But that's the only thing they have to do. So they can't. The tax collector could revoke their license if they rented it but did not pay the tax, if there was proof of that. But not renting and not paying tax would not be grounds, you know, for the revocation. So that avenue is a difficult one to pursue. The other question the board had is, should the vacation rental permit have a time limit? This, when the ordinance was adopted in 2003, there was a window of time given for people that had been operating vacation rentals to come in and get licenses for their vacation rentals. As a result, there's a lot of vacation rentals and clusters of vacation rentals, especially throughout Cambria and Cayucos. And they are all essentially grandfathered in. They can't, as long as they keep their license active, they're there, basically. And so the time limit question came up when we, going a different route, when we were looking at doing this, the first draft of this ordinance, the time limit question came up about putting a sunset clause in the new ordinance, saying any new vacation rentals could only be good for 2 years or 3 years or something like that. Well, going out to the advisory committees on that, and more questions came up about how that would be administered, you know, what would happen after 3 years, would that house lose it altogether forever, or could they come back if nobody else wanted it? What kind of a waiting period would you have? How's staff going to track this? It got so complex that we kind of dropped the whole thing right there. The advisory groups didn't, you know, like the idea that much, and it became an issue with how we would do it, basically, and do it fairly. So, you know, right now the situation is the ones that are there are there as long as they keep their license active. And that we've issued, you know, a few more in Cambria and Cayucos over the years. In large part, the ones that came in 2003, I think, are still there. You know, they haven't lost their licenses for the most part. So it is a situation where, you know, a lot of non-conforming ones, and that will probably be the situation for quite a while, you know, unless... And having you know, no distance standard at all would pretty much open up the whole thing, you know, for vacation rentals. And so we felt that a 50-foot was reasonable in terms of providing at least some space, you know, between them. There's also the issue in multifamily of multifamily units, complexes have less parking than single-family houses typically. And so if you had too many in a multifamily complex, you could have more parking issues, you know, and street parking and things like that. So we felt that a 50-foot was a reasonable distance. Of course, your board can change that if you want to. And this is how we do it right now in Cayucos, 200 feet in the same block, the red being a proposed vacation rental. And so we check that 200 feet for any other vacation rentals. The new standard is this same as February 7th for single family and suburban. This is 100 feet across the street, 100 feet on the same side of the street, and the 50-foot radius. So this loosens it up on the block before when you went to the before we had 200 feet in the same block. So this would allow you to have possibly if one or two more. It's hard to say in the block now that we've shortened the distance in the existing block. We've gone across the street, which in essence, you know, it could end up being a wash. It's hard to say exactly the impact of the new versus the old because there's so many non-conforming ones in Cayucos that you really can't do an accurate estimate of the impact of the old and the new, you know, to see what the actual numbers would be because of all the non-conforming ones. So this would be Cayucos multifamily, just like Avila, with 50 feet in all directions. Here's some maps showing the multifamily area in Cayucos. This is the downtown part right in here and the pier. So the multifamily is mostly right in this area right here where you come off the highway, Cayucos Drive exit, this area right in here. It also goes down South Ocean and continues down South Ocean for quite a ways. And there's a lot of single-family houses in this area. And then continues on down to the southern part of Cayucos. So we felt that the 50-foot was a reasonable compromise based on those issues about the number of single-family houses and the issue potentially of multifamily parking issues. Next question was removing Los Osos from the ordinance, which we did. It's gone from the ordinance. That means a MUP would be required in Los Osos for vacation rentals. The last was a user's guide, and we have a draft user's guide in the packet that we had it done as a draft because we expect to modify that slightly and modify that when the ordinance, when it ultimately gets adopted by the Coastal Commission and comes back. So with that, we request that you take final action on Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance Amendment LRP 2009-0005 and instruct the chairperson to sign the attached ordinance. That would conclude my presentation. But happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Bissell. Regarding the user's guide that you've developed, and I think it's a valuable document, you would have that available on the planning website, but would you also make it available to the various property management companies? And I mean, what's your plan for getting that information to the to people?
Yes, we would have it on the website. We'd also make it available to the property managers and anybody, you know, have copies of the front counter or anybody who wants it. You know, we just basically distribute it out to all the interested parties.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Supervisor Hill.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of questions that are just to clarify, because I know that there's some folks that are asking for continuance and such. What we're trying to do in making this amendment to the existing ordinance does not retroactively take away any of the existing licensed active rentals, correct?
Correct.
So all of the existing rentals in the communities are unaffected.
Correct.
And it doesn't obviously disallow future vacation rentals that might qualify within the outside the limited radius.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, any one that would qualify could be established.
Okay, and even if for instance there were some situations where the radius thing, is there another process that someone might apply for outside of the business license? For instance, they had a case to make that this is an appropriate vacation rental because of whatever so-and-so. Is there yet another route other than the easy business license route?
That's correct, Supervisor Hill. What they can go through a minor use permit, and that might be the avenue for some of the multifamily projects where they all want to be vacation rentals. They could request it.
Good. Thank you, Supervisor Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate staff's efforts on this, especially in thinking through the question of residential multifamily zoning in Cayucas, which has developed in, an eclectic way, as a lot of Cayucas has. I like the consistency with the Avila Beach standard. I like the idea that there's a minor use permit process where, you know, a more complex, more densely clustered collection of vacation rentals could be established in RMF. So I think you worked hard on that. I know you spent a lot of time staring at maps and trying to figure out how we might craft it, but I think we're probably in as good a shape on that as we're going to get. I wanted to go back to the question of unlicensed vacation rentals, because that's a very large issue with a number of, very fine property management firms that see these folks operating outside our ordinance. I understand that it's difficult to investigate because is the issue you don't know that it's actually been rented. Advertising the rental is one thing. Actually renting it is what we have to prove.
That's true. You would have to prove it's being rented. If we could verify that it's being advertised through an address, we could at least write a letter to them and ask about it, basically, and see what the response was. We do, and then see where that went. Ultimately, you'd have to prove somebody was renting it, I think, if you wanted to actually go through a revocation or some kind of a fine process.
But is it the standard practice of the planning or building department or code enforcement folks to respond to complaints of unlicensed if they can? Is that they're doing now?
If somebody gives us an address with a complaint, then we will write a letter to that property owner.
Okay. So whether it's by advertising or by actual occupancy, there has to be a verified complaint. And just for the public's benefit, our complaints to our code enforcement on all matters are kept confidential. Is that correct?
Correct. After the complaint part.
Okay. Just in terms of the user's guide, I appreciate the draft on that. I think that's one that some circulation with the property management community would be a useful way of refining that and make sure that all the salient points are covered, but I do appreciate that. I think that's really helpful. And that's it for now, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Thank you, Supervisor Gibson. With that, I'll open it to the public for public comment, and I did receive a few more requests to speak. If you have not turned in a request to speak, please do so we can gauge how much public input we'll have this morning. The first person requesting to speak is Mr. John McGarry, followed by Mike Brown.
Good morning. Excuse me. Mr. Chairman, gentlemen, I'm John McGarry. My wife and I are 21-year residents of the Marine Terrace area in Cambria. In that period, we have observed the residential character of our zoned R1 residential neighborhood has deteriorated as a result of the placement of 5 active residential vacation rentals within 150 feet of our home. The original ordinance, adopted in 2003 in introductory paragraph A anticipated this situation and contains a significant admonition where it states, and I'd like to read the admonition, if I may, please. In the adoption of these standards, the Board of Supervisors find that residential vacation rentals have the potential to be incompatible with surrounding residential uses, especially when several are concentrated in the same area, thereby having the potential for a deleterious effect on the adjacent full-time residents. Special regulation of residential vacation rentals is necessary to ensure that they will be compatible with surrounding residential uses and will not act to harm and alter the neighborhoods they are located within. In my view, the amended ordinance is both fair and equitable, as it effectively balances the interests of all parties concerned, and I request you adopt the Planning Commission's amendments to the Residential Vacation Rental Ordinance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. McGarry. Mike Brown, followed by Vicki Millage.
Mike Brown, representing CoLab. Everybody's been beating their brains out on this for several years, and it, again, shows the slippery slope of social engineering. In your staff report on page 4, the staff says the proposed ordinance may result in some economic benefit to businesses located in Cayucas and Avila Beach. Change in distance standard for the multifamily category in Cayucas would result in more properties, computer systems with a base application that's uniform that would do that. But beyond that, then you have to notify all the neighbors within a certain radius and tell them your private business. And I think that's the slipperiest part of the slippery slope. Why are my neighbors, and of course some of us probably have had a neighbor who's unreasonable or likes to meddle anyhow, and now we're going to socialize our private business economics and the life of perhaps our tenants by involving somebody down the street. And it's one thing for the government to regulate. As Supervisor Gibson said, our code enforcement efforts are confidential. We don't expose people to publicity on that. But now here we've got this radius of people who are going to be all involved in this. It's a slippery slope. You really need to separate the bad guys, you know, who have the cars and the stereo from the real estate. Maybe this the land use approach isn't the right approach. Maybe it's just a code enforcement problem.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Vicki Millage, followed by Marie Ducasse.
I'm Vicki Millage, and I am the chairperson of the Los Osos Community Advisory Council. And this morning I would like to express our gratitude for you exempting all of Los Osos from the vacation rental ordinance. And I would like to correct something, put something in that I neglected to do when I spoke at the February meeting on this topic. I want to give special thanks to Mr. Bucell, who came to our meeting in December and did exactly what I requested that he do. He went through all of the changes that were proposed by the Coastal Commission. And I'm sorry, by the Planning Commission, and did it well, succinctly, to the extent that we all understood completely. And I have to tell you, anybody who can answer one of my emails with one word is someone that you should treasure. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony this morning. Marie Ducasse, followed by Susan Villain.
My name is Marie Ducasse. I have a home on 340 Travis Drive in Los Osos. I have spoken here before on this vacation rental issue. My views have not changed toward vacation rentals in Cabrillo Estates, nor the cost that is going to be for the permits. I do not think they should be lowered. Many of us, but not all, who have bought property in Cabrillo have purchased their property and their house to be their retirement home. They do not and did not consider their area as a vacation area. There are no beaches, no place to park a boat, no swimming pools, no parks or recreational areas. We do have several cities around that do have those accommodations for vacationers. I have lived in Cabrillo Estates my 18th year, and it has been a wonderful place to live. And I hope to be able to finish the rest of my years there. If others have purchased a house here and have been caught in the economic crunch and feel they need to turn their property into a rental in order to make their payments on their mortgage, I feel for them. But if they feel they must rent, please rent on a long term. Through good screening on one renting, it would be better for the owner, less maintenance on the house, bring in a steady payment, and definitely a better neighbor to those who already live in our bedroom community. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Koss. Susan Villain, if I have that right, and she's followed by Margot Roberts.
Good morning, board commissioners. I handed out a form for all of you. I'm here to request an extra 30 days on the report that I'm preparing with regards to this vacation rental ordinance. My report is 90% complete. I'm just waiting on a couple more items that I'm researching, and would just really hope that you can just give me extra 30 days to do this. Plus, I want to gift this to you for at least a week so you can read
impact on our retirement. My husband and I request that the amendments to the rental code be approved. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. Joyce Renshaw, followed by Shauna Sullivan.
I am Joyce Renshaw, chair of the North Coast Advisory Council, and speaking of volunteers, we need to thank them very much. We have spent many hours on public hearings and council time regarding this vacation rental ordinance, and we were pleased that a lot of what we recommended was included into this ordinance, into the amendment. So we would like to urge the board to please support it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Renshaw. Shauna Sullivan, followed by Martin Verhey.
Good morning. My name is Shauna Sullivan. I'm volunteering to represent my mom here today, as well as people who would like to vacation in San Luis Obispo County but are prohibited from doing so because there aren't enough homes to rent. My mom owns an oceanfront Cayucas house that sits vacant 11 months of the year while providing $17,000 in property taxes per year. She can't rent it for any time other than a month because there's one next door. And it's this oceanfront house. It's just beautiful. And in accordance with the Coastal Act, this type of resource should be made available to people to use. It could provide bed tax, too, if this ordinance was changed to allow oceanfront properties to be vacation homes. I'd like the board to consider making an exception for the oceanfront properties. If you look at this map here of Cayucas, Cayucas is very unique in a lot of different ways, but one way is that it's a strand. This process of having a house across the street, 100 feet both ways, and along the strand doesn't really work, nor does a radius. These homes that are along the waterfront really should be treated to a different standard than this radius and block, because there's only three streets there anyway. And we want to promote tourism in this county. At least I thought that was one of our goals, as a clean industry. As far as dealing with noise and that sort of thing, I think your ordinance is dealing with that, and those type of land use controls can be helpful. The staff's business impact statement that is on page 4, I would like to point out that it has numerous inaccuracies. This proposed ordinance will not create more vacation homes, and it will not create more vacation rentals on the ocean front of a Cayucas, where there is, which is desirable for vacationers. It's true that it's desirable, but there's not going to be any more. If you look at what Mr. Bissell put up, I didn't see him definitively stating that there would be one more vacation home in this area, because the map he put up didn't show where the current vacation homes are. And so there is nothing to support a statement that you're being asked to make in this business impact statement that this will qualify more vacation rentals, or that it may result in more or provide more opportunities for tourism. That statement, you don't have enough evidence to support making a statement like that. I think the study that is hopefully going to come along soon will help you maybe make that statement. I know during 5 Planning Commission meetings that I attended, as well as the last Board of Supervisors meeting, I made the request that the staff show at least one place where we get one more vacation home in this area. And I haven't seen that yet shown with a map that you can detect where the current vacation homes are and where they're not. I'd also like to again remind you that the Coastal
Sullivan,
Act...
Your time is up. Thank you very much.
We put up my other slide. At least you can have it up there as a reminder. Thank you.
Martin Verhey, followed by Bob Shanbaum.
Honorable Supervisors, I'm Martin Verhey of Cambria. And it is more than 15 years ago that I first came before the board and pleaded on behalf of the residents in the urban zoned district subject to vacation rentals. The resulting grand jury report directing the vacation rental ordinance was very specific in their message to the county. The character of residential neighborhoods must be maintained with unchanged life quality assurance. I emphasize the importance of the ordinance and its compliance for the residents. Your board at the same time received more than 552 signed resident petitions. It was a big disappointment to them that doers before you. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Verhey. Bob Shanbaum, followed by, looks like, Tony LeGras.
Good morning. Let's see. My name is Bob Shanbaum. I live at 2771 Houston Drive in Los Osos. And I want to reiterate the many appreciations to John Bissell for his equanimity through all this. And also, thank you to Chairman Patterson for coming by to be better informed about our neighborhood, and especially to Supervisor Meacham, who showed up at my door one Saturday morning wanting to see what the heck was going on. So I'm here for one brief concern today, which is about the change in the charge of the fee to apply for a minor use permit. Suddenly, the fee seems to have gone from about $4,500 to somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,500 to $2,000. I would ask that the Board of Supervisors make sure that the cost of the MUP be charged to the applicant at actual cost to the county, and that that amount be carefully reviewed as to its accuracy. I'm very strong with the consistent idea that development must pay its own way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shanbaum. Tony LeGras, or Graz, or whatever, you'll correct me, I'm sure, followed by Barbara Crowley.
Hi, I'm Tony LeGras with Beachside Rentals in Cayucas, and I want to thank John Bissell and everyone here for listening to this repeatedly. I like a lot of the changes in the ordinance personally. I don't think it's completely ready to be approved, especially with the news about the illegal vacation rentals and the lack of being able to withdraw rentals who are not paying tax. Those two issues still affect the legal businesses that are operating greatly. So that's all I want to say. I think we're getting there. I don't think it's quite ready. And thank you all for your time.
Thank you, Ms. LeGraw. Barbara Crowley, followed by Joseph Crowley.
I am Barbara Crowley, and I live in Cambria. Amendments to the ordinance have been in the works for 3+ years. It's time to vote on these issues. This feasibility study, which the consultant has asked for a delay, is a tactic to postpone your vote. If this was truly an attempt to improve the ordinance, why was this not presented when public input was taken? The staff and the Planning Commission have produced the most balanced proposal, not perfect, but best at this time. There'll be other reviews in years to come. Why is the study to be considered with more weight than your Planning Department and Commission's report? Its scope does not cover the same issues you charge staff to research. We're talking about two different things. We're talking about taxes and revenue, and on the other hand, land use. It's not to say local businesses in the county cannot make profit from residential vacation rentals, but commercial tourist enterprises traditionally make profits within the environment of the clientele in the community they serve. To be well respected with good referrals, especially in a small community, they don't go out and destroy the environment they wish to make profits from. Having a vacation rental at the sole discretion of the owner with no location restrictions destroys the tourist product the industry is trying to sell. Vacationers have already stated in their survey they like the quiet residential feel and consider it a bonus to their vacation experience. So I ask you, how will increasing the density of rentals enhance our vacations experience? It won't. It will destroy the whole environment of residential vacation homes along with our residential neighborhoods. And then I would like to add, for the record, the MUP thing came up. We have had MUPs in Cambria, in fact, on my street, for vacation rental business licenses. And to answer the gentleman from PAC Lab, why neighbors need to be notified, we have to live with these vacationers. It's not meddling. It's a neighborhood watch issue. We need to be aware of our surroundings. We're only asking for safety. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crowley. Joseph Crowley, followed by John Lamb.
Thank you for your time. I wanted to say a word about property rights. We all have a right to use our property as we see fit, but we have a corresponding duty to see that no harm is done to others by what happens on our property, because all we want to do is to abide by the zoning agreements that everyone made when they bought their neighborhood. Now, I realize that the rental agents have not gotten all they wished from these revisions, but I know that the full-time residents who are impacted by the rentals have also fallen short of their hopes. Despite this, I believe the compromises of the present staff report include significant gains for both sides. For example, the rental agents are free of the 7-day restriction that prevented them from completely using their properties during the busy tourist times. On the other hand, the residents will have a clear and explicit limit on the final density that will be allowed, even while vacation rentals continue to be added to the R1 zone. Both will benefit from provisions to weed out scofflaws, like the unlicensed operators and the flagrant nuisances. So I urge you to approve the revised ordinance today so that Cambrians on both sides of this issue can go back to being neighbors with a clear understanding of our rights and duties, and put an end to the squabbling caused by the vague language and conflicting definitions of the current version. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crowley. John Lamb, and that concludes my request to speak in public comment. Mr. Lamb?
Good morning. My name is John Lamb. I live in Cambria. And I want to emphasize 4 features of the proposed amendments that I think are very important, and I urge you to adopt these amendments, all the amendments today. First of all is the new location standard. In Cambria, the lots are very small. They're typically 50 by 70 feet, and there's a 5-foot setback typically. The new proposed standard for Cambria is 200 linear feet on either side of the block and 150-foot radius. The Planning Commission proposed the standard to reduce traffic around vacation rentals and also to create a noise buffer for noise caused by tenants. The 150-foot radius is particularly important because noise goes where it wants to go and doesn't respect boundaries created by streets or property lines. The second new proposed amendment that I want to emphasize is the tenancy standard. The old standard was one rental within 7 consecutive calendar days, and this was very confusing and difficult to apply. The new standard is 4 tenancies per calendar month, and this is easier to understand and benefits everybody. It benefits the rental agencies because they can double book a vacation rental over a weekend, a holiday weekend if they want, and it benefits the neighbors because they know when the 4 tenancies are up for that month. The third proposed amendment is a new advertising requirement. It would require that all advertisements for vacation rentals include the TOT certificate number. This will help the planning department track unlicensed vacation rentals and will make it easier for enforcement staff to enforce the ordinance. And the final proposed amendment that I want to emphasize is the use of citizen complaints to verify violations. Staff can now use affidavits signed by citizens under penalty of perjury to verify violations of the ordinance, and that can lead to zoning to the revocation of the zoning clearance. This amendment process has been in the works for more than 3 years. The North Coast Advisory Council considered it at 2 full meetings, and the Land Use Committee of the North Coast Advisory Council considered it at least 4 meetings. Mr. Bissell has put in an inordinate amount of time. The Planning Commission considered these amendments over 4 hearings. I urge you to just bite the bullet and vote on this today, approve the amendments, and let's get on with the rest of our lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lamb. We did have a couple more requests come in. Dr. C. Height, followed by Shirley Lyon. Dr. Height.
Dr. C. Height, Los Osos. And I sympathize with people who want to do what they want to do with their own property, but I have to side with the very eloquent neighbors when they talk about transit and transit occupancy. And I doubt if any of you will ever live in close proximity to a vacation rental. I lived in right on Delaware on the Pacific Coast Highway in Pismo Beach. It was my lifelong dream to do so. There was a very nice house across the street, and it became a vacation rental, meaning that nobody gets to live there full time. It was empty much of the time, and then it was a nightmare. You want to assume that people that are going to rent a vacation rental are mature, but they're not. And after talking about youth, I hate to badmouth youth, but you haven't lived until people are carrying on. Sure, they want to be in a quiet neighborhood. The police are not on patrol as often. Fighting, drinking, jumping nude in and out of the hot tub, and you could see the hot rentals into neighborhood communities. Then yes, you have to pay attention to tourism, but you know, I think you've got that covered. You're not paying attention to your own population. You're going to have a mass population of Los Osos looking for affordable housing, and then there may be more vacation rentals and less opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hyatt. Shirley Lyon. Ms. Lyon.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's good to see you again. I hadn't expected to speak this morning, but I would like to address the issue. We have worked really hard on this feasibility study, and I apologize for the delay. We hoped that we'd have it finished in the 60 days. But there is a lot of information in it, and it's good data. It's certainly discusses in depth the economic issues that are involved in diminishing vacation rentals, which is what this proposed ordinance would do in the communities that are involved. And I think we all know that this is a tourist County, tourism drives our engine. That's what we depend upon. And the businesses particularly would be affected as the vacation rentals were diminished, you know, through this restrictive density rules and so forth. We're happy with some of the things that you've done, and I think that we can still work on this. I realize that we've been at this for a while, but, you know, I'd like to see us get it right this time, at least as much as we can. And so I wish that you would really consider giving us the continuance, and we'll come back with the information, I think, that will give you the opportunity to make a really educated decision on how we can work this out. So appreciate your thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lynn. That concludes my request to speak on this item, so I'll close it to public comment and bring it back to the board for deliberation. Supervisor Meacham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm a little bit confused by the suggestions here on the request for the continuance. On the three bullet points that you have outlined here, how the TOT dollars break down into vacation rentals and hotels for the four communities, I believe that still could be provided whether or not we pass this ordinance. The second, as far as the number of inactive vacation rentals, that information, too, could be provided, and I don't know what impact that would have on this ordinance at this particular point in time. And the third, the maximum amount of vacation rentals under the current ordinance versus the proposed ordinance, that's something that staff could be provided with as well. So I really don't know where or how this would affect the decision based upon the ordinance that's being presented. And secondly, it's no secret, I'm a huge proponent of our economy and our tourism industry. But when we have to weigh residents' concerns with that, there is an ordinance in place. There is the ability to do vacation rentals, but we do have to respect the privacy of our neighbors. And I think it all falls down to accountability. And I know you folks in the industry, you guys do the best you can to try to control this, and that's where it all boils down to. And it's those that choose not to is where we have the problems. And I don't know that we can ever control them. Because if somebody wants to act badly, they're going to continue to be that way. So I think that we have, Mr. Bissell, I want to compliment you on your outreach to the community. And I think that there's been an inordinate amount of time spent on this. It doesn't mean that the information that could be provided on this feasibility study couldn't assist us later on anything. But I don't know where or how that would affect this ordinance.
Thank you, Supervisor Meacham. Supervisor Hill.
Yep. Yeah, I'm actually in complete agreement with Supervisor Meacham. In fact, that's what I wrote on the request, which was I just didn't understand how these items would affect our decision here in terms of moving forward on this. And it is, I think, as Mr. Meacham stated quite well, a balance that we have to strike. I've met with both the Management Association and residents. I was pleased that the residents have gotten to a point, I think, or maybe they've always been to a point where, you know, they feel like they can live with the situation. And I think that's because the really good job that the Management Association's doing to make sure that issues are dealt with in a very timely manner. So I really think that we have a good situation. My concern last time, you know, there's still some information to come, but I don't think it affects the ordinance so much as I think that it's that balance between allowing people access to the coast through these vacation rentals, this ordinance to and addressing concerns, and I know that they help to provide some good economic opportunities for people who are involved in taking. I think that those opportunities will expand, though they should expand in the way we want that to be, which is in a balanced way, so we're not really making life miserable for folks who live there. So I think that we're there. I think we've spent a lot of time. You know, usually people criticize us for taking too much time, government taking too much time. We've taken a lot of time. I think we have a good ordinance amendments before us, and you know, I think that people still will. And I know my community in Avila, they're very supportive. They're very complimentary of Mr. Bissell's work. And I know that in Avila, for instance, where most people would want to rent, which would be in the downtown beach area, there still exists the opportunities, besides the fact that it's very small, if new units came online for vacation rentals and they couldn't qualify under this, that they might qualify under the MUP and most likely would qualify, partly because of the nature of the downtown section, which really isn't heavily residential. So I think we should move forward with it. I think it's there. And with that, thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome, Supervisor Hill. Supervisor Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree and won't restate comments, immediate comments. Agree with their comments. I would agree particularly. I don't see that the information suggested to us in the feasibility report really is germane to the decision we have before us today. I do want to thank not only staff, Mr. Bissell has been a model of patience and accommodation, but also the Planning Commission, the advisory councils, the professional management community. They've all contributed a lot to this, and it's, I think, the better for it. You know, we've wrestled with some difficult issues. Supervisor Hill said it is all about balance when we do land use regulation, and I think we've hit the right one here. And in getting ready for today's hearing, I did listen to some of the discussion from our February hearing, and the chair actually noted something I think is worth repeating, and that is that we have made some improvements in this ordinance. We have gotten clarifications of things like the rental frequency, clarifications and strengthening of notification requirements, enforcement, revocation, and those were that enforcement and revocation part for badly performing properties is one that was very important to me. I think we've properly recognized the different character of communities as to the density of parcels within those communities and the nature of different land use categories or zonings between residential single family and residential multifamily, and staff and the public have considered these very, very carefully over quite a long time. So at a point, Mr. Chairman, that it's appropriate, I'm ready with a motion on this.
Very good. Supervisor Gibson, Supervisor Teixeira wanted to comment, and then I'll turn it back to you for a motion.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Patterson. I echo the comments of my colleagues. I think there's a lot of good information in this ordinance, and I think it's time to that we go forward with this. Compliment Mr. Bissell and staff for the tenacity they've had to work through this and work with the groups and work with everybody. I think that really shows the completeness and the effectiveness of our staff and the things that we do. As the minor use permit process, it may not be perfect, but I think it's a step in the right direction, and we need to have something to bring along these non-legal rentals and get them in line and possibly increase the rental population in some of these in neighborhoods, and I think this is a great way to go. As Mr. Meacham alluded to, you're going to have bad actors regardless of what you do. We passed the aggressive animal ordinance here a couple weeks ago, and that's basically to curtail the ones that have the animals that they're not watching or they're not taking care of. The competent pet owners and the good pet owners, that's not what we're looking for, and the same thing with the rentals. We're looking for the ones that aren't taking care of business and are being bad neighbors, and these are the ones we need to work on. And I think the information that came from the Management Association, I think that can be worked into the ordinance, and it can be information purposes, and work it from there. And I thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Teixeira. I'll simply say that I think it's all been said, so I won't be repetitive. I appreciate the feedback that we've gotten from all those involved in this effort, and as my colleagues have said, it's a matter of striking a balance the best we can, providing access to our wonderful coastal environment here, though doing that in a manner that still protects the rights of the single-family residential neighborhoods, those living there. And so with that, I do have a request from staff, and then I'll ask Supervisor Gibson for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Cammie Griffin, County Planning. I did want to remind the board that this ordinance won't go into effect immediately.
The item on our agenda this morning is closed session. Thank you, folks, for your perseverance. The next item on our agenda is closed session. I'll ask Mr. Jensen for an estimate on time for closed session.
About 30 minutes.
Okay, and I do need to open it to the public, and I do have one request to speak on closed session, Dr. Hyde. Let's wait just a moment, Dr. Hyde.
Dr. C. Hyde, Los Osos World Community Workshop. And Harry Greening has established the protocol for speaking on your closed session, whether the item is actually on closed session to speak about. Avoiding being sued in general, and I've been speaking on this topic since 2003, trying to assist you in not being sued. And this is what keeps you from being sued. This is the step. It's your citizen's complaint policy. Excuse me, can you clear the room so I can speak?
I'm sorry.
You could say that. You have an official citizen's complaint policy. It's administrative complaint policy. And this is what tells the courts, oh, yeah, we had remedy. We took this seriously. They don't have to sue us. They have this remedy. Well, apparently I don't. I don't know. Is it because I'm a woman and old ladies just complain? Is it because I'm from Los Osos and you've already degraded the people of Los Osos as complainers and having bad behavior and misusing your time? But I want to read something from this. This is your policy and procedures, and it says all complaints will be treated as valid and investigated to resolution. On that basis, it's intended that complaints will be handled at the lowest possible levels, and it goes on and on. You know, it's going to be analyzed. And this is why this form is so important when someone files a complaint. The purpose of filing a formal written complaint is to protect oneself from retribution. And you need this form in order to know how to succeed at your complaint. Now, here's a complaint dated August the 4th, 2011, and it's stamped by your administrative clerk on August the 5th. 2011, and it begins, I have an adequate remedy through the County of San Luis Obispo complaint process. That's kind of ironical. And I provide a message telephone number, and there are no messages from the county on this phone service. And there's also a working email address, which I also give you every single time I give a speech. No answer. You really want to think twice before you tell me I'm beneath my citizenship. On March 27th, 2012, there is a form that is stamped by the county, and no answer. And what's interesting within this is I tell you I've provided you a CD, and I quote, the people versus the city of Los Angeles, and it's talking about showing disinterest and disrespect when the people speak, and perhaps your council needs to update the new board about this because the old board knew about it. And I just want to say, you know, if you were an abusive husband, I would divorce you. You need to address these complaints. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hyde. With that, we'll adjourn to closed session and return, it looks like, if we're on time, about 11:45. Madam Clerk.
We'll be on time.
I've done my fair share of these. They met.
Microphones are live.
Okay, we are back from closed session. Mr. Jensen, report out, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Warren Jensen, the County Council. The board did meet in closed session. No reportable action was taken.
Very good. Thank you. And with that, we'll adjourn to next Tuesday, April 24th, 9 a.m.